Now, there's a flip side to this also, a corollary of such, which I think is important to address, and that is those of you in business, those of you in the professions, those of you who sell products or services, don't minimize the fact that if you make it easy for people who ordinarily would not be inclined or able to avail themselves of your product or service at times and in ways that don't take away from your normal revenue. In other words, if you're the restaurateur and you know that you got a really light day on Mondays, or you are the hairstylist and you know that there's going to be times when you really can't be full, and you're a hairstylist, you know there are times you won't be full, and you could get great people who hang out with great prospects to basically be a billboard or a showcase for your artistry and ability, you owe it to yourself to explore the flip side. In other words, to make it easy for people to get started, particularly if incrementally you get revenue and appreciation. It is key that you understand that they must appreciate what you're doing for them and be discreet and private about any preferential arrangement you might make with them. But by doing that, you could subtly be growing your mainstay full-priced business, products or services, long-term at a very big pace just by being very sensitive and extending yourself to people who may not be able to normally avail themselves of your product or service. Now I want to talk about a really sensitive subject. How to know what you are really worth. A simple formula for determining your true value in your relationship to your wife, husband, spouse, to your lover, to your children, to your employer, in business, to your customer, to your suppliers, to everyone important to you. It is one that has served me extraordinarily well in my life and in all my relationships, personal and business, and I'd like very much to share it privately with you. I'd like very much to share it privately with you for the first time ever. Simply speaking, there's two sides to the quotient. One is being appreciated, and the other is appreciating. We all, I think, want to be appreciated. I have found in my life that the best way to be appreciated is to first appreciate. By that I mean, we all want so hard for other people to recognize our value, but they want the same thing, because we are all human beings, and human beings are pretty similar at all ranges of the socioeconomic scale. We want to be loved, we want to be appreciated, we want to be acknowledged. If you will take a moment first to appreciate your customer, your lover, your wife, or husband, or children, or employee, or employer, it will change radically the whole perspective you have and they have on the relationship with you. First of all, how do you do it? Well, you genuinely look for what's wonderful and great and fulfilling about that relationship. If it's your wife, you say, what is it great about this relationship? Well, first of all, that woman has agreed to commit and invest her whole life in you. She has agreed that you are the person who has the capacity to support her, to protect her, to nurture her, to make her laugh when she's sad, to console her when she has a problem, to inspire her, to celebrate for her when she achieves. That's a pretty incredible gift. That's a pretty incredible responsibility she has entrusted to you. She may have given you years and years of fulfillment. She may support you, encourage you mentally, financially. She may have given you some beautiful children. You may have had reversals in your life, and she was there to encourage and inspire you. She gives you a purpose, a reason, a meaning for being alive. And the flip side is true if you're a wife and you have a husband. He chose you. You're the one he wants to spend his life with. You're the one he wants to invest his career and his ability to work and generate money to create for. He's the one he wanted to build a home and a family with. He's the one he wanted to share his achievements, his joys, his happiness, his sorrows with. That's pretty incredible. Same thing with your children. You created children, if you have. You had a chance to mold their character, to influence their lives, to give them values, to see them achieve personally, emotionally, financially, in life, in health, in years, in longevity, at levels that were never dreamed of by your parents. You had a chance to basically reproduce yourself morally and spiritually and philosophically and influence generations of people to come. Your employer, they've created a business. They've added value. They've added to people's lives. They've created a sanctuary where whatever number of employees that they have a payroll for are able to grow, prosper, support their families, live and finance their lifestyles. They have rendered whatever product or service they render to their customers, which hopefully have increased or reduce or enhance the quality or the dangers of people's lives. They've given them safety. They've given them security. They've given them greater joy, greater profitability, whatever it is you do. You're part of that. Being a part of that is something rather exciting. Your employees, if you are an employer or a manager, have made your achievement possible. Without their commitment, their effort, their passion, their certainty, their stability, their dedication, their daily contribution, you couldn't be accomplishing what you've been doing. You couldn't be where you are, and your company would be the lesser for it, as would your family. Your friends, well, they're important because without friends, you don't have a side of your life that is critically important. You don't have someone who cares about you just for you, someone who shares your joys, shares your sorrows, wants the greatest for you, wants usually nothing from you other than your reciprocal friendship. You got to appreciate, first of all, other people and what they bring to you, what they have contributed to you. And I could spend hours analyzing and enumerating every aspect of friendship, of husbands, wives, employers, employees, vendors, and their contribution, that without vendors, you couldn't supply your manufacturing or your retail or your service lines. Without well-trained people, you couldn't produce at the level that your company produces at. Without everyone pooling together, you couldn't accomplish. And sometimes in the harsh, ultra-competitive environment we work in, we compete in, both as employees and as employers or professionals, we lose track of that. First thing you have to do is regain, get realigned, appreciate everybody and everyone for what they are and what they have brought and what they bring and what they will bring to your life and how it would be much sadder without them. And if it isn't sadder without them, then I think you should seriously consider changing your life, because if you can't appreciate the people you work for or who work for you, the people you live with, the people who have befriended you, the people that you've given life to, something is wrong either with your sense of values or theirs. If it's yours, you might just not really be slowing down enough to appreciate what life is all about. Life is all about contribution, value, benefit. It's not about self-servingness, because the more self-serving we become, the less we will ever achieve. And again, the whole name of this program is You Are Richer Than You Think, because you are. You're richer in financial terms. You're richer in relationship terms. You're richer in security terms. You're richer in certainty terms, because the first step is appreciating everybody, and then the second step is appreciating what your contribution has been, relatively speaking, to each of those different categories. If you work for somebody, then realize, as I have indicated earlier in this program, analyze what your contribution has been. What transactional connection your efforts, your work product, your daily contribution to that business results in happening. What occurs because of you and what the implications of that occurrence are. In other words, if your company is able to transact 1,000 sales today because you manage the cash register, you basically connect with their customers, that's a great contribution that you should recognize. You shouldn't be cocky or smug about it, but you should be really excited about what you've been able and are continuing to be able to contribute to your employer. And you should make sure your employer recognizes that too, not in a cocky way, but just in a humble and appreciative way. You could say, you know, I never realize it, but each and every day I have the opportunity of connecting this business with 1,000 people, advancing the relationship, maintaining it, solidifying it. I'm really excited and proud. If you are the employer and you've created a business that has been able to support and nurture 40 or 440 employees, you should appreciate that. If that business has been able to contribute and add value to 20,000 customers' lives, you should appreciate that. And that appreciation should be shared continuously with those customers and those employees so everyone appreciates each other at a higher and deeper and clearer level. Appreciation is the crux of knowing what you are really worth, because you can't know what you're worth until you first recognize what everyone else in your life or your business or your job or your family is worth. So the first thing is appreciate them. The second is appreciate yourself. The third is recognize, acknowledge that appreciation both ways. Make sure people know how important they are to you, and make sure they also know, without being cocky, the contribution, the significance, the supreme relevancy of what you've tried to do for them. But don't do it cocky. It's very important. You don't do it condescending or smug. It's very important that you do it with humility and respect. And you recognize that you are fortunate that you've been able to make that contribution to them. If you say to your employer, you know, I never realized 10 years ago when I started this job that I would be able to contribute $500,000 a week in shipments to this business. Or you say, you know, when I married you, I loved you and saw so much potential, but I never realized that by loving you and nurturing you, I'd ever see you develop to be such a wonderful woman or husband or to your children or to your friendships. You may say, you know, when I first met you and decided immediately we'd be best friends, I never realized what that friendship would produce for both of us. But it's a subtle way to get everybody connected with you, appreciating each other. And it's a two-way valve. You appreciate them first and you acknowledge it. Then with humble appreciation on your part, you share with them the reality of what your contribution has been to their life, to the interrelationship that they have had in your life and to the bigger picture. It's very important. If you try it for one day, you will be extraordinarily pleased and humbled by the power and the transformational effect it has on everybody and anybody you channel it through. In other words, all you have to do is start when you wake up in the morning with your wife, husband, lover, children, the person who parks your car, the person who operates the elevator, the person at the reception area, the person you work for or who works for you, the lowest or the highest level person. And if you follow the simple little method I have just shared, your richness and your prosperity, both financially and psychically in your life will grow by no less than 10 times over, and they'll grow continually for the rest of your life. You'll get much more out of every day. You'll get much more out of every relationship. You will turn hopelessness into hopefulness. You will turn joy into exhilaration. You will become the most beloved person, the most admired person, the most acknowledged person, and the most appreciated person simply by admiring, appreciating, and acknowledging everyone else. Now I want to talk about your biggest source of future wealth. It's identifying where your biggest future opportunity lies. A lot of people are frustrated because they see the world passing them by. They see computers becoming all-consuming. They see industries becoming dinosaurs. They see careers that used to be thriving becoming dead-end streets. They see huge employers that used to be the beacons of security basically becoming dinosaurs also, and downsizing and outsourcing and waylaying all kinds of employees. They're scared. I don't want you to be scared. I want you to be exhilarated, because opportunity lies everywhere you can add value to people's lives. So start with wherever you are in life. If you have the good fortune of being on the fast track to a trend or an area that's experiencing great growth, great. All the better. But if you're in what most would see as a dead-end situation, it's no problem, because the one person who sees how to add value, who sees how to bring greater advantage, who sees how to bring more benefit and more either protection, security, or tangible result to someone's life, to someone's business, to someone's situation, will always be invaluable, will always be prized. And even in a business or an industry that is matured or trending down, the one person or the one business that harbors this kind of an attitude will always be critically in demand. You will always be paid a premium and prized. That notwithstanding, if you're at a point of reconsidering what career to go into, here are my recommendations. Number one, look at service industries. Why service industries? Because service industries tend to be recurring. They have repeat transactions that go on for years and years, if not forever. Once your employer, or you, if you are the employer, gets a customer or client, they will typically keep coming back over and over and over for life. Many times a year if you are lucky, many times a month or a week if you are luckier. It's a lot better than being in a one-shot business. The cost of acquiring a customer for most businesses is so acute, you have to consider what it will take to resell them over and over again. Service industries tend to have the natural tendency for people to come back over and over and over again. Correspondingly, they tend to be high markup, low cost to fulfill enterprises that have enormous, that have substantial profit levels available to support employees, lifestyles, expenses, advertising, all the costs and requirements that competition today imposes upon you. If you're going to go into service business, I would suspect that the kind of services that would be the best areas to pursue would probably be those areas which make people's lives easier, more fulfilling, safer, or more enjoyable. That's a very general statement, because you have to look for yourself. How do you find these opportunities? Guess what? That's right. The Yellow Pages. You go through the Yellow Pages if you want to do it locally, or you go through various industry directories if you want to do it regionally, nationally, internationally. You identify all kinds of service industries. And guess what you do? You call them up. You tell them the truth, that you're thinking of going into that field, and you ask their opinion. After you ask their opinion, you ask them questions like, tell me the good, tell me the bad, tell me if you were going into it again, would you do it? Tell me the trend. Tell me the biggest opportunity. Tell me the biggest problem. Then you ask them a few questions. I'm looking for an opportunity in that industry where I can make a great contribution, where I can make the biggest value, where I can give an employer the greatest return on his or her investment, where I can grow to be the most valuable asset and have that employer get a return of many, many times my salary cost or my commission cost. Is there such an opportunity in this industry, and might there be such an opportunity with you? You might even say, if you're interested, I am looking to start a business like that. Is your business for sale? Or would you be willing to be a partner in a version of this business in another location, in another city, in another part of town? You see the possibilities? They are limitless if you stop operating by the rules that have governed everybody else you work with or the industry you work in. You have a brand new canvas. You can paint any picture of your career or life you want. So go for it, because that's where the opportunity lies, in your mind. It's not outside, it's inside. The moment you realize that you have the ability to take advantage of any opportunity out there, to identify the greatest opportunities and be part of them just by asking how you can make the biggest contribution, asking where the opportunity lies, talking to people, not making a decision out of necessity or out of ignorance, but making it out of well-reasoned, well-informed questioning and examination. You can order your life any way you want. And if you settle for less than you're entitled to, shame, shame, shame on you. Now, let's talk about the biggest mistake almost everybody makes. The truth about franchises. Most people who are looking to start a business for themselves turn to franchises. The problem is they misunderstand the concept of most franchises. Because somebody sells a franchise for $50 or $100,000 and has a successful operating facility installed somewhere, they merely think that by paying this huge franchise fee, it's an assurance, a certainty, an absolute security that you're going to be successful trying to operate a version of that franchise yourself. Nothing could be further from the truth. What I have discovered, and I've looked at far more franchises than you probably ever will, is that most franchises only have one leg of the success quotient covered. They have an operating system. They have procedures for managing or operating the process of the franchise. If it's quick fix, if it's quick food, they have a system for processing and preparing a consistent quality of food. What they don't usually have, however, is a successful system for generating customers. Food stores are probably the best, but many of them, all you end up doing is getting yourself a low-paying job that you can't get out of. With the more technical, the more product-based franchises, most of them don't know how to excel. Most of them don't know how to generate customers. They don't know how to build ongoing sales. They don't know how to grow profits. All they know how to do is manage a successful system. But if you can't get it successful, you're screwed. I encourage you, before you ever lay down any money for a franchise, to do me this one favor. Number one, ask the franchisor to put you in touch with 10 successful franchisees in 10 different parts of the country, ranging from small cities to large, great locations to bad. Ask them also to put you in touch with 10 people who aren't doing well. Call those 20 people. Ask them what's making them successful or what isn't. asking them what their most successful customer generating system is, ask them what their most successful selling process is, ask them if the franchisor is giving it to them or they figure it out for themselves, ask them what they do different if they didn't own this and they were thinking about buying the franchise today. Ask the ones that aren't doing well why they think they aren't. Ask them what they think would make them most successful and ask them what the franchisor is doing to make them more successful or to help them. If the franchisor won't give you the names of those people, it's no big deal. Call the 100 or 200 major cities in the United States and ask information for the name of and the number of that kind of firm. If they are really aggressive franchisors, they'll have an installation there. They may not want you to know that because it may not be doing well, but you owe it to yourself to spend the few $100 on the phone calls before you spend $50,000 or $100,000 in money and the rest of your life in a situation that gives you a far lesser result, return, payoff, benefit, or enrichment than you deserve. That's the first thing. Second, before you make a decision, look up the generic type of business they are offering. And again, guess what? The Yellow Pages. But get Yellow Pages for 100 cities. And call the non-franchised operators of similar types of generic businesses and ask them if they would be willing to franchise or license or at least train you in their success secrets. You may find somebody who's 10 times more successful and independent, but he knows how to gain and build customers and repeat customers 10 times better than the franchisor. For $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, he or she might let you come and work in their store for a month and ask all the questions and come up with an incredible documentation of how you can do it yourself in your city without ever paying a franchise fee. Or you might find it so good, you might make a deal with them where you become the model, and if it works, you own a franchise company with them and you franchise your successful company. The key to remember is that 90% of the franchise companies I've seen, and I'm exempting the really big ones, but the small franchisors don't know how to build customers. All you get when you lay down your $50,000 or $100,000 is a system of how to set up a business and how to manage business, but you don't get certainty that you're going to have business. And without business, the greatest setup doesn't work. You want a system that brings you sales and brings you customers and assures you of profits. And if a franchisor can't point to a ton of successes and isn't willing to introduce you to the non-successes, consider the alternative. Because for a fraction of the money and a lot more certainty, you can probably find an independent that's done it right that would love to teach you, as long as you don't compete against them in their city, how to do it yourself. Now I'm going to talk about intelligence. Not intellect, but smartness. And the smartest thing you can do with your life and your opportunities. It's to adopt what I call the optimum personal and business and career strategy. What's this mean? It means that you refuse to get less out of an effort, less out of an opportunity, less out of a day, less out of a dollar, less out of a relationship than the maximum that that activity or action has the capacity to give you today and in the future. That means that you don't do things just to be doing them. That you insist on playing life to the fullest. But to the fullest based on your sense of values. In other words, your idea of excitement may be having plenty of time to stay home and read great literature or listen to music. So there's no reason you ever have to, or I would expect you, to be a great athlete, to run, to play tennis. You have to figure out who it is you are and what it is you want. And that's critical because most people I meet with don't have a clue of where they're going in life and what they want life to give them. Life has the capacity to give you, in your personal life and in your career or business, everything you ever want and then some. Multiples of that, in fact. But you can't have any of it if you don't know what you're going. Most people remind me of travelers who are absolutely lost. They'll call and say, I'm in Albuquerque, but I don't know where I'm going. Or, I'm going to San Diego, but I don't know where I am. Well, if you don't know both points of your destination, where you are and where you're trying to get to, there's no way in heaven you can ever come close. Any success, any fulfillment, any joy, any prosperity, any goodness you got is almost accidental. All you have to do is stop, sit down with a pad and pencil, and ask, who am I? What do I want? What makes me happy? What doesn't? Where is my strength? Where is my weakness? Where can I make the greatest contribution? In my life, in my jobs, in my business, in my relationships.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your cassette over now to continue with side two.
You may only want to make enough money to have the time to enjoy it. Other people, money making may be a real thrill. You may not care about material things. Other people may want all the material things. I am not passing judgment. What I am saying to you is you can't have what you want until you first know what it is. And you can't know what it is until you really first realize what richness means to you. Because a lot of people have never sat down quietly and concentratedly and identified what richness means to their own personal wealth quotient. And wealth is denominated a lot of different ways. It may be $1 million. It may be enough to support yourself in the lifestyle you want. It may be freedom. Freedom to never have to think about problems. I met a man who shuttled me around from an airport one time who absolutely had to be one of the happiest people I met. He had a girlfriend. They had no material interest. They had a nice apartment in a clean part of town. They worked very hard all day, but they didn't want their business problems to come home with them. So they worked very hard. They both made really good money, and from 5 o'clock on, they enjoyed life at the highest level. That's great for somebody. Other people love the excitement of business and personal life being one. I'm not passing judgment. I'm saying figure out what you want and identify it, and then make sure the path you are pursuing is the path that's going to get you what you want out of life. Because there's nothing sadder than to see someone go through life and in their 70th or 80th year look back regrettably because they've pursued the wrong target. I want for you, I want every day to be a day of joy and enrichment on whatever basis you define enjoyment and enrichment. Okay, speaking of smart things you can do, let's talk about the opposite, the dumb mistakes smart people make. There are a lot of very bright people I've met that do some very dumb things. They don't use logic. They don't use common sense. They don't humble themselves enough to look at the simplest, most direct route to accomplish their goal. They make life about 10 times harder than it has to be, and they are oblivious to anyone else's point of view. One of the first lessons I learned years ago was that a study of 500 of the greatest achievers in the first half of this century revealed that to the man or woman, and these were industrialists, military giants, political heads of countries around the world, actors, artists, achievers, scientists, noted authors, every kind and form of human achievement and endeavor. The top levels, the supreme achievers of them all, had one trait common to them all. They all had mastermind groups. Groups of men and women from outside, not inside, but from outside their field of endeavor, whose minds they picked continuously on questions, problems, issues, opportunities, and challenges that they were faced with, that they were dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Why mastermind groups? Because these great achievers knew intuitively that other people saw life differently, that other people had already been where they were just now trekking, that other people had experienced their equivalent of the same issues, the same problems, the same opportunities, but from a different pair of eyes, a different perspective, a different vantage point. And if they could tap into 5 or 10 or 25 different perspectives from men and women who had cumulatively 20 or 30 years worth of very rich business or life experiences, they could add hundreds or thousands of years of skill and expertise and authority and certainty to any decision they would make. So in my mind, the dumbest thing you can do if you're an intelligent, smart man or woman in life, in business, in career, in your relationship, is fail to tap into the intelligent, experienced, well-informed, objective minds of other men and women who have been where you are now just starting to trek. Create your own mastermind group of friends, of advisors outside your business, people who can look at your situation less emotionally, with more objectivity and wisdom, people who can give you unbiased answers you can at least reflect upon. Ultimately, the decision's yours. But if you have a knowledge base of dozens or hundreds or thousands of rich and very well-experienced authoritative years to tap into, every decision you ever make will be a better one because you'll have a reflection, because you'll have a reference base to reflect upon that is so much deeper and wider and more accurate and realistic than anybody else you'll be competing against. And you are competing in life and relationship for the right answer, for the right decision. Let other people help you because people have been where you are going now. People have faced the demons, the problems, the challenges, and the opportunities. They have made the right decision. They have made the wrong decision. They have made different decisions. They have taken the direct path. They have taken the circuitous path. Tap into their experience base and pick their minds because it's very, very easy to get people to contribute and guide and counsel you if you but ask. The best way to have a mastermind group is organize it formally. Meet once a blank, week, month, quarter, day, depending on what's appropriate in your life or your business or job situation. Ask questions. Listen. Don't prejudge. Evaluate. Examine. Observe. Question. Reflect upon the basis and the experience that goes behind any suggestion or any answer or any idea that your friends and your mastermind group contribute. Get people from sophisticated backgrounds and humble backgrounds. People who bring balance and richness and color and experience to the quotient. People who will tell you the truth as they see it without sugarcoating it or hedging it. People who respect you enough that they will not lie to you. Who care enough about you that they will tell you what they feel is your best path. And then when you have all the information, sort it all out and evolve the best, most intelligent answer or action you can make to the problem or the issue or the challenge. You will not believe how much more powerful and how much more effective you will become in your business, in your job, in your life. Someone said, Jay, how do you come up with so many good money-making ideas? I can't come up with one. And I say, that's not true. You can come up with all you ever want. It only requires two simple understandings. Number one, that all ideas are new combination of old ideas. And the only way to get ideas is to study the principles and basis behind things happening. Every time anything occurs in life, a process, an event, an achievement, a catastrophe, a windfall, there is almost always a driving force, a principle, a key event that spawned it, that created it, that is the foundational element that made it occur. If you will develop an awareness for identifying and culling out or honing in on what the driving principle is behind everything that happens. In other words, you start looking at life and you see something happen, you start thinking deep down to the root and say, what's the core reason that occurred? What's the basis? What's the key factor or element or the fundamental occurrence that made that possible, good or bad? When your mind starts questioning and dissecting and tightly focusing down to the core nucleus of what principles drive every event and occurrence and result and accomplishment that goes on in your life, and I mean everything. I mean, you look at your wife's smile or your husband and you say, what's the principle that made that happen? You look at somebody very wealthy and you meet them one day and you ask them, can I ask you one question? If you had to reduce it down to the simplest principle that accounts for your success, what is it? And if they'll let you ask another question, what made that happen? What influenced you? If you keep questioning and looking at what makes everything happen and culling it down to its simplest principle, your mind will start thinking differently. You'll start storing key essence, key elements, and key principles of achievement and attainment and pure creative accomplishment in your mind. And then all you have to do whenever you're looking to come up with a breakthrough or a fresh new approach or perspective or a new idea is combine all those principles you are storing in your mind in fresh new ways. And the way to do it is to not limit the scope or the area you focus on. Make the rest of your life one constant adventure in discovering, identifying, and culling out driving principles in every activity, experience, event, encounter, observation you ever make. You see an ad work, it excites you. Ask yourself, what's the driving principle that's making that work? The basis, the question, the illustration, the point. Somebody gets you to buy something you weren't going to buy, say, what's the principle that made me do that? Something happens good or bad at work or in your relationship. Besides reacting normally, emotionally, have another reaction, a principle pursuing reaction where you hone in and you zero right in on the driving principle behind it. And when you identify it, articulate it for yourself. And if you can, write it down, because the process of writing it down on a private pad or notebook will indelibly embed it in the recesses of your mind where it'll be ready at your beck and call to be accessed whenever you need to combine new combinations of identified principles in fresh new ways, because that's the simplest explanation of how new, fresh ideas get created each and every day by people no brighter than you and no brighter than me. Each and every one of us, me, you, everyone in your work, everyone in your family, has the capacity to come up with great ideas all day long and all night long for the rest of their life if they will just change the way they look at everything around them. Instead of being passive, instead of being oblivious, put on your little pair of 3D glasses and everything that happens, stop and say, what's the principle that makes that work? Even if working means a negative result, why did that occur? What's the principle behind it? Powerful process. You won't believe what it'll do for you. Well, I've got two more things to talk about and then I'm done. One is smart money and easy money, the two laziest methods for creating wealth I've ever discovered. The second is what I call idea generators. So let's talk about the laziest ways to create wealth, because everyone seems to want to know that. The laziest ways I've discovered are finding what someone else does that no one else knows about and charging them to teach it to them. Now, think of it as a simple idea. If you look at any business, you'll find that almost everyone operating any business today has within that business perfected, unbeknownst even to that business owner, methods or processes of conducting their business that are literally superior than almost anything anyone else in the industry does. You may manage people better. You may hire more effectively. You may get more usefulness out of a day. You may get more usefulness out of a person. You may get a lower capital investment to give you a higher yield per annum. You may be able to manage a smaller staff of people and get a greater outcome. You may get more profit per sale. You may get more sales per customer per year. Whatever it is you do, or whatever it is someone does, if you can identify it and you can codify it and turn it into a process, you can take that process and you can sell it or lease it or joint venture it to not only others but to hundreds or thousands of others all over the country. For example, I had a car wash operator who had developed a method for selling people the hot wax add-on, and his method sold 2 times as many customers hot wax as anyone else in the country. I got that person to sell every other car wash his method for a monthly usage fee. He ended up making hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a month selling his hot wax method. Many, many times more than he was making operating the car wash. I had a dry cleaner who developed a series of very effective methods for getting customers to come in and buy dry clean and keep coming back over and over again. These were methods that most other dry cleaners didn't know about. I got him to create a monthly newsletter where he charged $50 a month for every subscriber. Subscribers were other dry cleaners who didn't know his methods. Every month he just shared with these 1,000 subscribers the methods he was using that month and let them use them freely outside his competitive marketing area. He ended up doing $2 million a year reselling his own success principles. I did it with a gentleman who was in the lumber business who developed a method of drying wood that cut utility costs in half and produced 40% higher grade of lumber and almost eliminated waste. He got a couple $1 million selling it to other lumber mills outside of his geographic area. There's so many methods and procedures and processes you can sell to your marketplace that all you have to do is find out what other people do better than their competitors and see if they'll give you the right to acquire that intangible, that intellectual property and sell it or rent it or license it to somebody else outside their area of competition. You can make revenue forever from dozens or hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of other business people or individuals around the world. The second way it's easy and lazy is improve the performance of something you're already doing. Most people don't realize that the processes they're already engaged in doing can normally produce many times greater outcome. People who run ads can normally make their ads produce 2, 3, 4 times greater yield just by changing certain parts. People who hire employees can normally get 15, 20, 30% more productivity by managing them better or by organizing their time or their job functions better. When you identify other people who have learned how to get greater result, greater utility, greater yield out of something they are currently doing that other people don't do as effectively, all you have to do is help companies improve the performance of a given function, and you can ask and receive a massive share of either the savings or the improved productivity or profit or both. It's a very simple process I have used to make millions of dollars for myself and save or make tens and hundreds of millions of dollars for clients I have worked with. every business, every individual in the world could be a prospect for this, and it's exciting and easy. And the best part about it is you never make money unless you improve or enhance the quality or the prosperity or the productivity of somebody's life or business. Okay, last but not least, I want to give you a few really neat ways to generate cash flow and increase your income without doing it yourself. I broached upon it earlier, but understand this. There are people in the world who are doers. There are people in the world who are managers. There are people in the world who are producers. There are people in the world who are salespeople. Salespeople normally aren't entrepreneurs. Salespeople normally don't know how to organize a business. Organizers aren't normally salespeople. If you can be the connector, if you can put together people who can sell with people who can manage, you can organize businesses for others and take a share either of the equity or a share of the revenue or a share of the profit for a very long period of time. I've done that many times. I found people who could sell and put them together with people who could manage or had expertise and created businesses for them and taken a share of the profit or a fee for organizing them. It's pretty exciting. Likewise, you can find companies who are on the verge of going out of business but can't afford to do it. And believe it or not, a lot of companies can't afford to go out of business because the liability is too substantial for the owners. In other words, the owner may have personally guaranteed a loan, and if they go out of business, they'll lose their house and their wealth. So they keep plodding along, basically breaking even, oftentimes not even taking a salary out of the business because it's the best of a number of bad options they have. If you can get businesses that would like to go out of business but can't afford to agree to let you take their customers and combine them together into one super cluster of customers, you can sell those customers to a third party, to another business who can add them in with theirs, who can operate and serve those customers very cost effectively because incrementally it costs very little to add them to an existing business. You can get the acquiring company, in other words, the company that ultimately assumes the responsibility for all these customers that you've acquired from all these businesses that can't afford to go out of business. You can get the acquiring company to pay you 20, 30, 40%, 50% of the ongoing perpetual profit you get from those customers, that they get from those customers, excuse me. And you can take a portion of the profit they pay you and repay that to the marginal companies you've gotten those customers from. In other words, Company A would like to go out of business but can't afford to. So they struggle just selling products to customers because it's cheaper for them than going out of business. You go to them. You get them to let you take their customers and sell them to a third party. You get the third party to give you 25 to 50% of the profit those customers generate for years and years to come. You share half of that profit with the company you originally acquired the customers from. The company you pay that share to is exhilarated because they can afford to close down their business, eliminate their overhead, but get a stream of income for life or for many years. They can save their personal finances, and you do them a great service. But you get half or three-quarters or one-fourth or whatever you decide is fair and ethical of the cash flow for years and years and years. I've had businesses do this in five different industries, and I've seen people make themselves tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars a month for life just by helping struggling businesses get out of their business by taking their customers and selling them to other companies, but selling them for a share ongoing of the profits those customers generated, and then splitting that profit share with the company they got the customers from. Anyhow, that's one of the best idea generators for passive income I can think of. The next one is basically find people who are great. And don't act as a finder, act as a manager. No one's ever done this.
in business. But there's no reason you can't become a personal manager for somebody who's great and represent them to somebody else in the industry. Let's say that you're an incredible weight person. Let's say that you basically have a following of people who love you and you wanted a different job. But on your own, you probably wouldn't get much more money. Why couldn't you act like a manager? Go to that person, offer to represent them to another restaurant. In the process of representing them to that restaurant, negotiate a really great financial package for them, a package that gives you 10% of their revenue for forever. But even on only getting 90% for themselves, you get them such an incredible improvement and increase, they're excited. You can do that for anybody in any life. You can do it for anybody in any career. Most of us don't have enough confidence in our own ability that we don't really manage well when it comes to changing jobs. We don't really fully value the contribution, the worth we make to our employer. If somebody acted as our manager, frankly, the employer wouldn't like it, but that manager would get great contributing people, great asset value employees, greater deals, greater compensation, longer term contracts, or be able to negotiate much more lucrative arrangements for them with other competitors. But a lot of us can't do it for ourselves. That's why I think one of the greatest opportunities out there is to act as a manager for employees. No one's ever done it, but it's an idea, I think, whose time has come. People who super achieve deserve everything life will reward them. The people who don't deserve to recognize that the world revolves around contribution and achievement and value. Everybody wins if you did that. Check out the legalities. Talk to an attorney. I don't know what kind of requirements are necessary to become a personal manager, but I know that there's an opportunity to manage and add value to all kinds of people's lives who are really great contributors to their employers but aren't appreciated. You can get them more appreciation, more money, or better careers with other people and make yourself an incredible, incredible, incredible profession and income at the same time. If you got 10% of the income from 20 or 30 clients that you represented and managed, be a great income, be a great fulfilling profession, and you will know with certainty that every time you make a dollar, you enrich somebody's life. Are you richer than you think? I think you are. I think you're many times richer than you think. And I've sat down today at my home to share with you 19 of the simplest but most powerful revelations you'll ever make on ways to make your life, your career, your business, and your relationships many times more enriching to you and to those that you associate with. At very least, I hope I can give you the process and the tools you need to give yourself everything and anything you've ever wanted and all that life is waiting to bestow upon you financially and otherwise. Hopefully you'll take it to a much higher level of application and enrichment than even I have. At least that's what I'm expecting, because that's the reason I'm sharing it with you. And with that stated, let the game begin.
I'm back again as the host, but for a good reason. I've been very privileged the last few months to persuade some of the world's legendary entrepreneurs to open up their minds and their hearts to me and to you.